Your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans tonight. Romans chapter 13. I think I'm going to use the handheld here tonight. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Thank you again so much, preacher, for allowing us to be here tonight. It's a privilege and an honor. Romans chapter 13. We'll begin reading in verse 11. In verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I want to focus on verse 11 and 12. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Around the turn of the century, earlier part of the 1900s, there was a ship in the northern part of the Atlantic Ocean. And there were people there watching the nightlight and watching the skyline. And as they were watching, one of them noticed some bright lights off in the distance. They noticed what appeared to be fireworks coming from another cruise ship. And they just assumed that it was partying and things going on of that nature. They had seen that sort of thing before. And they watched off in the distance. And they saw this sight and appeared as lights shimmered off in the distance. And they watched for quite a while. And then the lights disappeared. They did not realize that night they were watching another ship called the Titanic as it sank. And that ship within distance of the Titanic as they were watching could have been a lifesaver to all of those people on that ship were it not for a young man in the radio room that had went to sleep. And as he slept there that night, probably not even thinking that his irresponsibility would cost thousands of lives, there he wasted all that time sleeping on the job. As Christians tonight, we stand, I believe, near the very end of time. We are watching things happen in our world that we never saw, never thought we'd ever see happen. And I want to bring you a message tonight about knowing the times. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask in the next few minutes that you would just help us focus on your word. I ask, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to wake up. Help all the Christians tonight, Lord, that are listening to the sound of my voice, that every single one of us would be attentive. And Lord, that we would be acknowledging of the times that we live in and that we would wake up. And Lord, not waste any more time that's already been wasted. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would just empty me of myself. I pray, God, that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit's power. Control me as I preach. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It says here in verse 12 that the night is far spent. The day is at hand. We're running out of time. We learned back in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, we heard a lot of preachers that would preach about the coming of the Lord and how we were running out of time. But it seemed as time has gone by that preachers and Christians have ceased to be as vigilant as they used to be. And this is no surprise because Christ told us that in the last days that this would happen, that we would see a great falling away. And honestly, even more so than in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, we're seeing things that would just be unbelievable to even the preachers back then. We're seeing a huge and drastic change all across our world. I remember distinctly, so distinctly, that day years ago when I was a senior in college on September 11th. watching as a world that seemed so safe and that seemed so steady all of a sudden changed within just a few minutes' time. And we found out that day on September 11th just how fast our life can change. And the Apostle Paul here was warning. He said, I want you to understand that you're running out of time. And we're even closer now than the Apostle Paul was 2,000 years ago. He said, I want you to understand that the night is far spent, the day is at hand. And it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to get up, wake up out of our slumber, and to see and to look and find out what kind of times that we're in. Look over in Matthew chapter 24. The apostles asked Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 24. They said, what kind of signs do we have to look for? What is it that is going to be at the end of the age, at the end of the time? In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3, and as he sit upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of the coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Oh, that's a message that can preach right there. Take heed that no man deceive you. We live in a time when deception is at every corner. It's in the political circles. It's in the religious circles. It's in the world government circles. Everywhere we turn, deception is all around us. And he said in verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. I was just reading on the news the other day in the newspaper about a church in the state of Florida where a man is convincing thousands and thousands of people in a charismatic church in Florida that he is Jesus Christ, come back to sit his kingdom upon the earth. And it's amazing. You watch it and see these people are so deceived and they're convinced that this is the man. And they're pouring millions upon millions of dollars into his ministry. And it's turning into a worldwide ministry. Christ said, this is going to happen. There's going to be people that's going to come in my name. And they're going to say, I'm Christ and shall deceive many. And then he says in verse 6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Wars and rumors of wars. There have been many wars in the past, but now with the inventions that we now see with the television, the internet, we're more keenly aware of the violence and the wars that encircle the globe. Oh, not just the wars that we're involved in, but wars all around the world. You have the Iraqi war, which we are now fighting for our own liberties and our freedoms. And now you hear it on the news all the time how the media is constantly talking about how we might soon go to war with Iran. And then you read on the news and find out that crazy lunatic dictators are trying to find nuclear weapons and try to prove what kind of powers they can exactly come up with. We have Kim Jong-il, which exactly is what he is, over in North Korea. And he's spouting off this and spouting off that. And we have little men all over the world trying to prove something. You have North Korea and then you have China. And the Bible has plenty to say about China and the parts that they're going to play in the end times. And for so long, people thought, how in the world can that be? Armies of that size coming from the Far East. And how in the world there's such a deprived, backwards nation. Then all of a sudden, China has taken a forefront on world politics. I remember back in 1989 and 1990 and 1991 how all the preachers were preaching about Russia and their present state and how they were going to play into the future. And all of a sudden the USSR collapsed. And all of a sudden all these scenarios that preachers had put together to predict the end times and set dates and all that kind of thing, all of a sudden they all fell apart. But now we're seeing Russia all of a sudden become a superpower again, as the Bible said that it will happen, that Russia will play a distinct role in the end times. And yet Russia is now starting at times past in the late 90s, Russia was allegedly our friend. But Russia was never a friend of America. They never have been. They never will be. And we find that Russia is now preparing again, setting up nuclear weapons, wars, and rumors of wars. And then you go down to the continent of Africa, and one nation is fighting against another nation, and then Afghanistan, and all across the world, we see wars and rumors of wars. But however, Christ said something to the believer. He said, you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass. You know, honestly, I'm not scared. I'm not nervous. To be honest, I'm a little bit excited. Because every time I read the newspaper and every time I watch the news, I'm reminded that Jesus Christ is coming very soon. And it says here also that not only are we going to see wars and rumors of wars, but in verse 7, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. We're seeing all of these things come to pass. Famines. Over in Africa and over in Asia, they're starting to run into food shortages. I saw on the news the other day, they said the real worry that we've got to start worrying about is not so much about the oil problem, but it's about the food problem. Famines. We see in America, just this year, the kinds of things, the natural disasters that are starting to eliminate our food supply. The prices are only going to go up. And we look at these things and he said, you shouldn't be troubled. You shouldn't be bothered about all these things. There's going to be famines. There's going to be pestilences. There's going to be diseases. The world spread of AIDS and malaria and all these multiple diseases where thousands and even millions of people will be killed. Super viruses. They're telling us now that these antibiotics that we've come to depend on so heavily now are becoming weak and anemic because the viruses have built up an immune system against them. And now we're running into super viruses of which we don't find a cure. But he said these things are going to come to pass. There will be pestilences. I find in America it talks about the famine. You know, he told the children of Israel, he said, you know, in your last days, he said, there's going to be a famine, not of food and drink, he said, but a famine of the Word of God. And I believe we live in a time right now in America where we live in a famine of the Word of God. The Word of God is not being preached like it used to be. The Word of God is not being pounded out from the pulpits. Now we have a social gospel. And he said these things would come. He said, and this is just the beginning of sorrows. He said, there's going to be earthquakes. They tell them in California, they're waiting for the big one. Even over in Asia, multiple earthquakes and tsunamis. Thousands upon thousands of people die. This is just a side note, but I think it's interesting to notice they're talking all this discussion about global warming in America. And they say, look at all the signs and the earthquakes and the hurricanes and the tornadoes and all this kind of thing. It's all a part of global warming. If you read their Bible, there's something else I think that's brewing in America. He said, there's a nation called Israel. And he said, I'm going to bless them that bless you, and I'm going to curse them that curse thee. And I think it's interesting to note, you notice when we have our biggest problems with natural disasters, it's when we're over there meddling with Israel, trying to help them give away land. We're only asking for it. He says there's going to be earthquakes. He says there's going to be famines. And then he says all this is just the beginning of sorrows. In verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We live in a time of false prophets. If you don't believe that, turn on to your local Christian broadcasting network. Listen to the false prophets. One of the biggest Christian radio stations in the world is ran by a man who teaches all kinds of heresy. Teaches all kinds of interesting doctrines. The church age is over and you don't need to be giving your money to the church. You need to be giving it to a parachurch organization such as this radio station. And we have all kinds of false prophets. You find a man, I watched an interview a couple years ago, and he was with Larry King Live, and his favorite phrase in his interview was the phrase, I don't know. And Larry King would ask him a question, and he'd say, what do you think about this? And are Muslims going to go to heaven? And what about the homosexuals? And all, and every single answer he had, the most profound thing, I don't know. And if he didn't know, then why in the world is he pastoring the largest church in the nation? But we have false prophets. And then you turn over to the next television station, you find out there's a woman that she can hoe corn better than the man that Larry King interviewed. And you have all these false prophets teaching all kinds of things. Teachers having itching ears. And he says that many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Nationally, internationally known preacher a few years ago, I saw an interview with him where they asked him, is there a literal burning hell? And he said, I don't believe so. False prophets, all you find them. And he says, iniquity shall abound. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. In other words, he said, you're going to find problems in the churches. There's going to be sin. There's going to be immorality. There's going to be iniquity. And because of all this, he said, the love of many is going to wax cold. They're not going to be interested anymore. You hear the lost people say, the reason I don't go to that church down there is because church is full of hypocrites. You know what? They're right. Church is. People don't live by the book anymore. And Christ was telling his apostles, he said, all these things are going to happen. He said, but don't let it bother you. Don't let it trouble you, because this is what's going to happen in the end times. Now I want you to look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The apostle Paul is talking to Timothy, and he's giving him some instructions. This will be the Apostle Paul's last words. He's writing his last epistle. He's writing his last letter. He knows that the end is coming and that he will soon die. He will soon be sent to his execution. And he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. It's going to be difficult, Timothy. There's going to be problems. There's going to be issues. Perilous times shall come. He says in verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters. We live in that time. Lovers of their own selves. We live in a time where everybody lives for number one. They don't think about anybody else. They don't think about their neighbor. They don't think about their relative. They're lovers of their own selves. He said they're going to be covetous. We live in a time where, honestly, everybody is running and leaping and going after the American dream. Oh, if they get a house and they get a job and they get a car and they get this and they get that. All it's want, me, mine. Covetous, boasters. We live in a time of pride. Great pride. Proud, blasphemers. Blasphemers. Even now, we hear the people being taught in our universities and our public school systems that there is no God. Heard about a preacher? Well, a man who spoke. I don't know if you know if we'll call him a preacher. Who was teaching in a university, quote-unquote Christian university, that the resurrection is not necessary for the gospel. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. I heard the other day about a couple in the ministry who had young children. They were not full-time in the ministry, but heavily involved in the church. And teenagers, totally out of control. And the father went to discipline the mother, or discipline the daughter. And her brother videotaped it on a cell phone. Said, you do, I'll turn you into Child Protective Services. His own father. This is a Christian home and a fundamental church. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. We're facing that in America today more like than any time before. Without natural affection. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Oh, we live in a nation right now that is a lover of pleasure. Everything's revolved around pleasure. It's the entertainment. It's the music industry. It's the sports industry. Everywhere you turn, we have people that love pleasure more than they love God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. One of the things that I found most dismaying, right after September 11th, we watched as all the political leaders got together on Capitol Hill for a prayer service. Oh, talking about how God bless America, led in prayer by a Muslim cleric. Having a form of godliness. But denying the power thereof. And he tells Timothy, as he's giving him his last instructions, he said, from such, from all of this, turn away. You get away from all this. He said, this is what's going to happen. And verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now skip down to verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. He said, Timothy, you've watched me. You've seen me. You've been with me. I've taught you. He said, you've seen what I have taught you. And there's going to be problems. Everything in the world is going to come against you. He said, but you've seen what I've taught you. Had persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. He said, I endured the persecutions for the gospel's sake. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I'll be really honest with you right now. I believe that it would not hurt our churches to have persecution. We live in a time where, honestly, we are spoiled. We don't have to pray. We don't have to do anything. We can just go to church and show up and do our thing and go home. We don't live in a time like the Apostle Paul did when he was persecuted for his faith. But you notice that when the gospel flourished and when the word of God was spread around the world was when persecution spread it out at Jerusalem. Sent it all around the world. And he said, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. He said, but, now you listen, Timothy, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's going to get worse. I'm not going to paint a pretty picture for you. He said, it's going to get worse. We're living the last times. We're living the last days. It's not going to get easier. It's not going to get better. The good old popular Southern gospel song, if it keeps getting better and better, oh Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's not going to get better, folks. And he says to Timothy, he said, it's going to get worse. And here's some instructions for you. He said, Timothy, there's going to be perilous times. There's going to be difficult times. There's going to be false teachers. There's going to be false doctrines. Everything in the world is going to be thrown at you. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Amen. Continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He said, I've taught you everything that you need to know. I've walked with you. I've talked with you. I've worked with you. I've taught you my doctrine. I've taught you my beliefs. Now you walk in them. Now you continue in them. We live in a time where honestly, all the things that we've been taught, all the things that have been handed down from generation to generation in the fundamental circles, they're now starting to be thrown out the window. When I graduated from college, there was a man that stood on the platform of the college that I graduated. And the college that I graduated from gave him an honorary doctorate degree for all of his achievements and all the things that he had done in building a great work on the East Coast. Last year, we had a tour group into his church. We walked in. They walked in and they walked into the room there. And the man has drum sets on the platform. Strobe lights. Contemporary Christian rock and roll music shows. The church is just shaking and rocking and rolling. And now his church is starting to join the Southern Baptist Convention in just 8 years' time. A number of years ago, we were in a church that has supported our ministry for 35 years. 35 years. They've sent us a monthly check. They've sent us work groups over the years. They say, we'd like to have a tour group. And so we came. We walked into the church and I was with the young ladies there and the college president. We walked into the church and it was a huge church with a huge balcony stretching across there, full of people all over the place. And I walked in and I noticed on the left, three drum sets sitting on the platform. And I said to the girls, just keep your mouth shut. We're just going to sit here and hold on for the ride. And boy, did we ever. The pianist sit over here and she started playing the piano. One of those 7-11 songs, 7 words, 11 times. She played about 17, 18 verses of that thing. And she started playing. I thought, well, this ain't that bad. They had a huge orchestra pit over here. And I thought, well, this ain't that bad. And she got to like the second verse and the organ started in. I thought, okay, we can still live with this. Maybe they're just there for show or something. And then third or fourth verse, a man had showed up over here and there was electric guitar and he started playing the bass. Bom, bom. Oh, okay, whatever. And then about the 16th verse, we had the drum set. He's finally arrived in his shaggy haircut and he's tapping on the drum. And a few verses later, the whole place is just shaking back and forth. And the girls, they have never been in a Baptist church like this in their life. They're just sitting there, their jaws are on the floor. And we're watching this whole scene go by. And the choir came pouring in and let the rocks keep silent as we praise. And we watched them and they sang. And then as the service went on, we're just kind of sitting there just like our eyes are just huge. And watching then, I did something, you know, you're never supposed to do. I kept my eyes open during the prayers. And sitting there in the front row, and I'm watching as they're getting ready to the choir sing again. And watching as the soloist has a fight with the song leader and the choir director, and they're all up there. I mean, they're going at it right there in the middle of the prayer. I'm thinking, this is exciting. Maybe something's really going to get happening here. And I was watching, and I noticed, I mean, as soon as you can always tell when the prayers wind down to the end, and he's winding down in Jesus' name, and she spun around, I mean, smiling from ear to ear, and saying about how holy our God is. And if you didn't know it, you'd thought we was in a saloon, and she's going to lay down on the piano anytime in the near future. Pastor got up and he preached, and he was talking with us after the service. And he said to me, he said, my grandson has just surrendered to preach. And I said, that's nice. And he said, I'm not going to send him to one of those liberal schools. I said, that's good. Don't send him to one of those liberal schools. He said, I'm going to send him, and he named the school that he's going to send him to, and it was all I could do to keep my composure. Because, I mean, this school is just coming off the edges. I mean, they don't have any doctrinal sense. They don't have any beliefs anymore. I'm thinking, you consider that a conservative school. Well, bless your heart. But this is a church that used to be straight down the line. Straight down the line. I found it interesting, young people. I found it interesting. I was sitting there as the pastor preached that morning. And he said, I got in the mail this week. He said, I got this paper. He said it was an advertisement for Christian dance teams. And he said, bless God, it'll be a cold day where the boogeyman lives before we ever have a Christian dance team in this church. There's a group of teenagers sitting right behind me. Never forget when a young person said behind me, you want to bet? See, that's where compromise takes you. That's where a shift takes you. And he said, Timothy, he said, you're going to have all these things that are going to come at you. You're going to have perilous times. You're going to have dark times. You're going to have people that are going to try to get you to change your mind. They're going to try to change your doctrine. He said, they're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. But hey, Timothy, you continue in the things that I've taught you. I edify you tonight. I encourage you tonight. It's time that we as churches continue in the old paths. It's time that we go in the exact same direction that we've been going before. We don't need to change the Bible. We don't need to change the music. We don't need to change the dress. We don't need to change anything to attract the next generation. It's time we continue in the things that we have learned. I come across pastors and churches. We travel all over the United States with the tour groups. Churches that 5-10 years ago were holding firm, now giving away. They're always looking for some new thing. They're like the people on Mars. They're looking on Mars Hill. They're looking for a new doctrine, a new wind of doctrine coming across. Trying to find something deeper. They're crawling through the redwood forest with a magnifying glass looking for the trees. Trying to dig up something deeper, looking for the deeper life. Instead of just getting in the book and doing the things that we've been taught. He said, Timothy, you continue in the things which thou hast learned. He says in verse 15 that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let me tell you tonight, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned with the scriptures. The Bible is under attack. It's under attack. People trying to make changes. People trying to make alterations. They're trying to tell us the King James Bible is not the Word of God. He said, Timothy, you know what it is. You know why it's given. You continue thou with it. He said in chapter 4, verse 2, he said, I want you to be instant in season. He said, I want you to preach the Word, Timothy. Keep on preaching and teaching that what I taught you. He said, there are going to come people that are going to come and they're going to teach doctrines that are not sound. He says, all going to be after their own lusts. They'll do anything. They'll say anything. They'll go anywhere. They'll do anything to draw a crowd. It's all going to be about themselves. We don't need to draw a crowd. Oh, yes, I'm not against reaching the lost. But we live in a day and time where people say, well, the end justifies the means. If you want to have a rock concert, get the young people saved, help yourself. If you want to make sure you don't have any standards anymore because it's going to offend the lost, help yourself. That's what you need to do. Is the end justifies the means? He said, no. He said, they're just heaping to themselves on their own lusts. He said, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. He said, Timothy, not only do you stay firm in the scriptures, he said, but you do the work of an evangelist. In other words, you get out there and keep doing what you're supposed to be doing and win the lost to Christ. It's not time to have cell groups. It's not time to have all these programs and everything. He said, do the work of an evangelist. Go knocking on the doors. Go run the bus routes. Go teach a Sunday school class. He said, do the work of an evangelist. Win the lost to Christ. We live in a time where they're trying to come up with every other program in the world besides good old-fashioned soul winning. I can take you to a church that at one point in time was the largest independent fundamental Baptist church in the United States of America. Years ago, I had a pastor come in and he said, we don't need to do any of that door-to-door stuff anymore. We'll just do lifestyle evangelism. We'll just let the people see that we're saved and let our lives show whatever's on the inside. Ministry is hardly even in existence anymore. It's just barely a shell of what it once was. They had to curtain off most of the auditorium because they don't use it anymore. He said, Timothy, I want you to be an evangelist. He said, I want you to make full proof of the ministry. He said, I want you to keep the main thing, the main thing. Folks, it's not a time for us to back off. It's not a time for us to change. It's not a time for us to let up. It's not a time for us to change our methods. It's not a time for us to change anything. It's a time for us to put down our anchor, lock in, and wait for Jesus to come back and do what we're supposed to be doing. He said, knowing the times, he said, you need to wake up. As Christians, we've got to wake up. It's not a time for compromise. It's not a time for change. It's a time more than now, than any of the history of mankind, that we need to get out and evangelize the world. And the only way they were going to do that, it was with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wake up, Christian. We're running out of time. The other day, I was in a hotel room watching a speech. Some of you may have saw it. One of the presidential contenders speaking to 200,000 people in Europe. And I sit there watching and I thought to myself, you know, this is amazing. It just blew my mind. I was hearing things, honestly, that I thought I would only read in a book. The time has come for one world government. The time has come for us to reach and have a common cause and us to come together as common nations. I was shocked. Honestly, I never thought I would see it for myself. We live in a time, honestly, Jesus could come back any time, any day. All the stages are set. Israel has been waiting for her Messiah. Everything's waiting for Jesus Christ to come back. And I'll be really honest, Christians are asleep at the wheel. They're watching as the world goes to hell in a handbasket. They're too concerned about everything else under the sun. They're not concerned about the state of the churches. They're not concerned about the state of their nation. As long as they have their American dream, then they're happy and they're satisfied. And as Christians, more than any other time, it's time that we wake up. It's time that we see that there is a lost and dying world that's going to hell. It's time that we see that churches are changing and compromising and that we don't need to let up. Folks, you got to back up your preacher. He stands against difficult things. And you got to back him up. It's time that we hold up the preacher's hands. It's time that we get out and soul win now more than ever. It's time that we keep the standard straight. It's time that we keep the music straight. It's time that we keep the same old good old King James Bible that led in all the revivals. It's time that we know the times. It's time that we wake up. Wake up. He said, wake up and get to work. Wake up. Are you awake tonight? Are you aware of the times? Or have you got lackadaisical? Have you let up off of soul winning? Have you let some of the beliefs and the standards slip? Have you started second guessing the old paths? Let me tell you, those people, they're slick. Oh, they can talk you into some new doctrines. They can talk you into some new things. But folks, don't let go of the old paths. Are we slipping? Or are we acknowledging the times? We need to live each and every day as if Jesus Christ would come back today. Folks, it could be any day now that the heavens might split open and Jesus Christ comes to get His own. The question is, will He find us watching? Will He find us waiting? It says over in the book of 1 John, it says, now little children, abide in Him. Look over there in 1 John, 1 John chapter 5, and we'll close there. 1 John chapter 5. Sorry, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, it says, and now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If Jesus were to come back tonight, let me ask you a question. Would you be confident? Would you run to Him with open arms? Or would you be a little bit ashamed? It says, abide in Him. Walk with Him. That when He shall appear, you shall have confidence and not be ashamed before Him as His coming. Knowing the times. Wake up, Christian. Wake up.